I want to tell you right off this morning,
I'm not here because I feel like I have a Sunday morning ability, but I believe I've got something from the Lord that He would have us to share with you. When those times come, it starts out first with Him dealing with me, warning me, showing me what I need to do, and then to be able to share it. I'd like to start it this way. A few years ago, I had a camera. We hardly see them anymore because of digital cameras, but this one on the lens, it had settings for focus. If you want to take a close-up, and we've seen pictures, I've not been able to do it, but somebody that's good can take a close-up of a flower 2 foot away, and that flower is the thing that is vivid. It's perfect. There is no distortion to it at all. But then behind it, things fade out. They become distorted because this is the thing that I want to focus on. It also had other settings. It had them at like 2 foot, 4 foot, 6, 8, 10. If you want to take a group picture at 10 foot, you set it on this and it'll try to at that distance. This distance is what we'll focus with. This morning, I'd like to tell you, the devil is busy today to mess with our focus. He would love, and I'm telling you now, this message is for me. He would love for my focus to be spiritually at 2 foot. He would love for us to get involved in the things that I see right now. And this is where it's at. That setting also had an infinity setting. You turn it to that, and now I want the farthest distance this thing can see. Try to focus on that. This morning, and to me, the way the Lord's been dealing with me, this is something I'm going to have to guard from here till I go out of here, is where do I put my focus? I can focus on close-up. Close-up to me is these things that the Lord has allowed me to have. I can focus on temporal things, and there's nothing wrong with them. I can have my focus on my car, my travel trailer, my job, my paycheck, and there's a place for all of that. But I cannot let that be my focus. I need this morning to turn my focus to infinity. I need from here to the day I leave out of here to move this. All this has a place, but in my focus is not on this. Because folks, we're going to leave this one day. There are some people today in our world that have no religious inclination at all, and they are concerned where our world is. I've heard it on the news just recently. People that they're not talking about religious things. They're talking about the happenings in our world around us. And their question is the end of the world close? Is this marking the end of the world? And it's got them nervous. Some of you that work in Oklahoma City may have seen these signs. As the Lord's been dealing with me about, Dan, get your focus right. It's not on these temporal things. Yes, we need these to get through here, but I'm a pilgrim and a stranger. Get your focus on, this is coming to an end. So I'm not going to put a whole lot of emphasis on this because I want to be ready for that time when He comes for me. If you've been in Oklahoma City in the last few weeks, and I'm not sure the reason that they put these signs up, but I know since the Lord's been dealing with me, they sure made an impact on me. There was a sign, there's several of them, had four words on it. The end is near. And with the Lord having been dealing with me about it myself, it struck home. It was kind of like we saw in Daniel where the handwriting went on the wall. And it brought some serious thinking. Today, I believe the Lord would like for us all to do some serious thinking. Because when I move my focus past these things that I have and what I'm going to do tomorrow and next week and next month, if I can take my focus out into realizing the Lord's told me the end's coming, it's going to cause me to set boundaries in my life that I wouldn't normally do if I feel like I'm going to live for years and years. To the young people, I want to tell you today, stop sometime and think about eternity. Because what it will do is it will cause you to set some boundaries in your life that others that don't stop and think about eternity say there's nothing wrong with it. You can get by with it. I've thought myself, and I'd like for us to think about it, even the adults, in the last week, the last 7 days, have you sat down and just quietly thought about eternity? What will it mean for me to be ready? What will it mean for me to miss it? It will cause me to get serious about my soul. I want to be ready. A few years here in Oklahoma, gambling was passed. It's okay now. Casinos started sprouting up all over. It's just common knowledge that that's a good place to lose your money. And yet, why are the parking lots so full? I have people that work with me that say, on a Friday night, I take $20. I'll go down there and I'll work with that $20 till I lose it all, and then I'll go home. And I hope I may win some. I want to tell you, there's many people that are doing that with their soul. I've got a little bit here. I've got $20 worth of religion that I'm going to throw at this. I hope it'll stick and I win big. Unless I put my all to it, I've got just about as much chance as you've got at the casino. They show the happy times. I have never seen them yet. When you drive by, they can afford the lighted signs now that show you the people laughing and carrying on. They can't all be laughing for that kind of money to be generated. The devil would love for us to go through this life focused on the things I have and what I'm going to do tomorrow with it, and not go out there and put into the formula that the end is near. I could go at any time, and I want to be ready. So with that camera being maybe my heart, my desires, those things that drive me, I would like for us for a little while today to push it over to infinity. And I've got a song that I would like for us to help that with. We'll look at number 405. It says, eternity draws near. As time moves on, when the earth shall disappear and I shall have gone out in the great unknown to reap what I have sown. Now, as I turn the camera of my heart toward infinity, things start getting serious. This thing's coming to an end. I'm going to reap what I've sown. This song doesn't say anything about the riches that I've accumulated. All they did was added to the fire that's burning. To reap what I've sown, summoned before the throne, then where shall I go? Where will I be going? The world is very concerned right now about some happenings. And I want to tell you, the church needs to be very concerned too. It's not enough for me to say, I'm saved today, I'm ready. I'm not home yet. I need to put my whole heart into living for the Lord. What are they concerned about? I know for myself, until the Lord started dealing with me a few weeks ago about this, when I heard about the earthquake in Haiti, you feel sorry for the people, but you hear it on the news a few days and it kind of goes away and you forget it. But one day the Lord started talking to me. Can you do it that easy? If you look in Matthew 24, where his disciples said, Lord, would you tell me some things about the end of time? Would you also tell me about the end of this temple that you say is going to be destroyed? And he started talking to them. And in the 7th verse, it says, here's what you can look for. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. Well, as that verse came to me and I started thinking more serious about it, I had a dental appointment and I went to the dentist there, and he's a volunteer for third world countries when there's trouble. And he told me about it. He said, I was one of the first ones to get there to see what I could do to help. 230,000 people went out into eternity from that earthquake in Haiti. You don't bury 230,000 with funerals one by one. They had dump trucks hauling them out to mass graves. He said, I went by and saw the mounds. You don't check birth certificates in that rush to bury 230,000 people. If they're not breathing, if they're confirmed dead, put them in the pile and take them out. And the Lord said, Dan, I'm trying to tell you, these are some of the signs to warn you that the end is near. Now, am I here to tell you it's going to happen this year? No. What I am here to tell you is, if you want to be ready, treat this year as if it's when it's going to happen. Make up your mind, and I'm doing it myself. I'm not preaching to you. He has been dealing with me, and he still is. Make up your mind. I will live this year as if this year is the end of all things. And I want to tell you some things that's going to happen. I've mentioned this before. If I knew this year he's coming again, and he tells me, Dan, it's going to be on a Wednesday night at 8 p.m., which one would I miss? Folks, if I really believe that the end could be near, this is going to be top priority with me, that I'll be ready. In Matthew 24, on down, I want to look at another verse in 42. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. And you know what? A lot of us have been raised right around here all our life, and we have heard this so many times that we can become callous. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. A warning to me today in 2010, the same as back when this was written. Be ready, for in such an hour as you think not, it's going to come. There's also, you know, in that next chapter, we read this many times, the kingdom of heaven is going to be likened to 10 virgins. That's us. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. They weren't all foolish all the time. Those 5 weren't. I believe there was a time there was 10 wise. Because it says on down here that there was a time when they had a lamp that was burning, but they fell asleep. That's where we are today. And if I don't take my spiritual camera and move it to infinity, to where in every decision of my life, I think about, should I step out into eternity tomorrow? Am I willing to do this now? I've got to have it, because if I don't put that as part of the formula in my life, it changes everything, because I've got plenty of time. These 10 virgins, every one of them had a plan to make it. I have a plan to make it now. But at the end, 5 of them didn't make it. There's another verse that I want us to look at in Luke 21. And 34. Take heed to yourselves. As we read this verse here, think about your camera. I'm thinking about mine. What's my focus today? What's real important to me today? Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, and cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unaware. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. You know, we're going to have to continue living in this world. There were some people that, when Jesus went away and the angel told them, why are you standing here gazing? This same Jesus that you saw, he's going to come back again. And they said, what do we need to do about it? How should I prepare for his coming? You remember what they did? They sold everything. We get to read about it in Acts. They had everything common. It didn't work. Nor can we live our life that way today. Because I've thought about it. As the Lord started dealing with me about, Dan, get your focus on the end. Live your life as if the end will be tomorrow. Well, immediately you think, well, okay, to do that, sell everything, quit my job, just read and pray and I'll be ready. That's not what he's looking for. He's looking for me to continue doing the things that I need to do. I need to work. I need to provide for my family. But what he's saying is, when you put eternity in the formula, all of it will take a proper balance. None of it will get out of place. And here he's warning us, be careful. The cares of this life, to me, those are legal things. Those are things that I've got to do to some measure. But he's saying, be real careful. Because if you don't, what's going to happen is your focus is going to be set at 2 foot. It's going to be set at tomorrow, what I'm going to do. And there comes the danger. You remember Lot's wife? They came to her, and it came to a point where they said, took them by the arm, and said, come on, you've got to get out. Destruction is coming. Her heart was back there. Today, what I need to do to be ready for that day is don't let my heart get set on these things that the Lord blesses me with. It also tells us there in Matthew, and we can read this in history, that it happened this way. It told those folks in Jerusalem, he said, there's going to come a time that Jerusalem's going to be destroyed. But those that are saved and are ready, you'll have an opportunity to be saved. And how did that come? You remember where it was telling? It's here in the 24th chapter of Matthew. It's telling them, if you're on the housetop and this time comes, don't go down and get anything. That's a warning to us. Because you know what? If my heart is set there, I'm going to say, I've got to get this before I get out. And they would have missed it. Because as soon as they had been able to leave, then destruction came to the city. I look at that myself, that I not let my heart get set on anything, that I would say, but I'm tied up here. I'll take care of my soul, but I need a little bit of time. I'd like for us to move over to another verse in 2 Peter. This is another one that we've read many times. Third chapter in the first verse. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. The third verse, knowing this verse, there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where's the promise of his coming? Since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning. Do you ever have that nudge to feel the same way? I heard this when I was a child, that the end's coming. So surely, I know it's coming. Every one of us here today, I believe, will say, we know the end is coming. But a lot of times what I would follow it up is, I just don't believe it'll be now. And if I live that way, then I'll allow some things to come along that I wouldn't do if I knew it was going to be tomorrow. But it goes on down in the 8th verse, beloved, don't be ignorant of this one thing. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. He's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And then it goes on in the 10th verse, but it's coming. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And in that 11th verse, he gives us what we need to be doing. Seeing then that all these things should be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? From here until that time comes, no matter when it is. If I live this year as if it will be this year, I won't regret it if the 1st of January of 2011 comes. I will be ready whenever he calls for me. Seeing then that all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought I to be? I need to be very careful of my life. So while I'm spending time thinking about when will the end of all things be, there's another reminder that the Lord would like to show us. Hebrews 9:27 tells us we've got an appointment. It's appointed unto man once to die, and that one may have nothing to do with the end of all things. We've got an appointment that we'll be making someday. Every funeral that I go to needs to be a reminder to me of my end. How quickly my life could be taken, and how do I need to live to be ready for that time? There's a place that I'd like for us to read, because I've had people tell me before, I don't like going to funerals. They make me sad. It's not a joyful place. Let's go to Ecclesiastes 7 and 2. It says, "It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting." You know the only time it's better? If you have the camera of your heart set on infinity and you're able to see eternity coming ahead. Otherwise, you will say, "Why? It only makes me think serious thoughts. I would much rather go to the house of feasting." Here it says, "Because that's the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart." Have you felt it before? When you go to a funeral and you realize this is the end for that person, and my end is coming, it brings some serious thoughts. It makes you do some soul searching, and that's the purpose of it. It will be better for me to go to the house of mourning if it has that result. And that third verse says, "Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better." Fourth verse, "The heart of the wise is in the house of the mourning." I need to take advantage of that reminder that the Lord gives me. Because it may be that the end of all things won't come this year, but continually I'm going to someone's funeral, and I need to be reminded of it. We have another verse in James 4 and 13. "What's your life? It's even as a vapor that appears for a short time and then it vanishes away." And when I come to the realization and I have focused on infinity and I realize the brevity of life, it causes something different to start happening about me. It brings about a seriousness to me. It's a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. So I kind of in my mind see a little teapot, the old-timey teapot sitting on a stove. Stove is on high. How much water do you have left in it before that vapor vanisheth away? And this is just as important to saved as to unsaved, because it doesn't matter so much where I am today as it will matter where I will be on that day. And to be ready on that day, I'm going to have to be ready on this one. There is another songwriter that I believe turned his camera to infinity. And he wrote a song that has challenged me every time we sing it. It's number 409. My understanding is he was at the entrance to a cemetery when these words came to him. "I stood at the time-beaten portals where many a pilgrim had passed, out into the infinite future to be with the pure and the blessed, and musing in silent devotion, eternity seemed to draw near, and strains from the choir of the faithful I seemed in my fancy to hear." Do we ever now stop, shut things down, and sit down and muse on something like this? "I see this thing coming to an end. It'll adjust how I live my life." That second verse said, "I lingered and I silently listened." I didn't get caught up in, "But I've got to be doing this tomorrow. I've got to, these things are important." I lingered and I silently listened to the dull, heavy tread of the years. I thought of the fate of the guilty when Christ in his glory appears. A shudder came over my spirit as I thought what a moment might cost. To all of us today, but I feel to the young people especially, you need to stop and think about eternity. You need to do what this songwriter did. "I thought what a moment might cost. One moment of a decision that took me away from God, what the price tag will be on it. For eternity's stillness was broken by the groans and the sighs of the lost." This is what his camera was able to pick up on that day. In my mind, I get a picture of a set of balancing scales. You remember where it's got a pivot right in the middle? You put weight on one side, and then whatever you want to weigh, you weigh it against that. On one side this morning, I see eternity with my desire to make heaven. On the other side, I see my actions. Those things in my life that I put on there, do they balance out? Or do I come up short? As far as I know, after having his camera this focused on eternity, time passed, and this songwriter lost his soul. And I can't help but believe in times of a camp meeting, when we hear this song with the solemnness of it, I can't hardly help but believe that he's hearing that. I missed it because I let my focus come back to something else. Folks, I want to tell you, maybe my problem with focus is not wealth, money, job, that thing. Maybe I've got that under control. But I want to tell you something, a hurt can come along, and that's where I turn my focus and get it off of, hey, this thing's a short term here. I can't let bitterness come along. I've got to get rid of that thing because I've got a view of eternity. Well, there's another song that says, will this be your lamentation? Will it be my lamentation? None of us plan to be lost. I don't. Will it be my lamentation that through neglect, I'm lost at last? The summertime is ended. The harvest is past. That was his lamentation. But I want to tell you, it doesn't have to be ours. And what I want to talk about now is, how can I prevent it from being my end? The first thing I'm going to have to do, I'm going to have to take a careful inventory of my life. Do I have on hand what is needed to be able to make heaven my home? Or will I be one of the five foolish virgins? Now, when I do that assessment within myself, quickly I could say, I'm ready. I got saved years ago. I go to church regular. I want to tell you a warning flag that has come up to me. Proverbs 21 and 2 says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes. So it tells me for myself, then you can't afford to do the inventory yourself. Because you will look at situations and you will say, I was right there. When I look at situations and say, your attitude was wrong. There was something wrong that you cannot see. So do you remember the prayer that David prayed? Because I believe he came to the place where he realized, Lord, I can't take a chance on doing my own inventory. I want you to take it. And in Psalms 139, 23, and 24, he pleads, search me, O Lord. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, because I want you to lead me into the way everlasting. So I don't check myself. I don't. You remember the Laodiceans, the church in Revelations, that they did an inventory. And when they came out of that inventory, they said, I'm rich. I'm increased with goods and I have need of nothing. I wonder, did they have their focus on a close-up? Life is going great for us. You know, around us, we will hear that prosperity is associated with spirituality. It doesn't have anything to do with it, not with that church. It's there. We can't allow ourselves to say, because he is causing things to prosper for me, things are well. Because the Lord said, I've inventoried you, and you're poor, you're wretched, miserable, blind, and naked. Could it be possible that I have that assessment of myself that everything is fine, and I'm marching toward eternity, and I need the Lord to stop me and say, Dan, this is who you are. And when we start, 1 Peter 4 and 17 tells us, judgment must begin at the house of God. I read this in Clark's commentary, and it has really stuck with me as we start thinking about the end of time. And now we read this verse that judgment needs to start with us. It says, when God was about to pour down some general judgment, he began with afflicting his own people in order to correct and amend them that they may be prepared for the overflowing scourge. I want to have my people prepared. So what do? I send things to afflict them. I send things to trouble them. And I want to tell you, what is my quick reaction to that? Lord, I want you to get me out of this trouble. Because I'm focused on this close-up, I need to be back to work tomorrow. I need to do these things, and that's what's important to me. Well, this inventory that I need to take so bad, I remember for myself, about 4 years ago, I had taken inventory and everything was fine. I needed nothing. There was a meeting here, And I don't believe I'll ever forget it. There was a message preached about having the presence of the Lord more in your life than ever before. Him wanting to fill us just like he did there with Moses in the temple. And I said, you know what? I want that. I went, came down here to the altar and told the Lord. And I somehow felt like, you know, since everything is fine with me, he's going to just dump some out and I'll have his presence. I won't ever forget either the answer I got. His assessment had been different. He said, Dan, there's no room to give you more of my presence. You're too full of yourself. Now, if anybody else had told me years before, I wouldn't have believed it because I felt like I was right all up to then. But at this point, I said, Lord, if this is how you see it. You remember Peter? When the Lord tried to come to him and say, Peter, Satan's desired to have you that he could sift you like wheat. If Peter would have accepted that and said, Lord, let's pray right now, I wonder how things would have been different. What was Peter's reply? Lord, I've taken inventory. I know who I am. There must be some mistake that you've got here because I'm willing to die for you. And you know what? The Lord allowed it to go on. He didn't tell him again, Peter, stop. I'm trying to tell you. Sometimes when I have taken assessment and the Lord tries to come to me to say, Dan, this is who you really are, I can override that. And it's the mercy of the Lord if he'll ever come back again to talk to me. But at that time, he dealt with me about an area where I had, at my work, I was right or I wouldn't have done it in my own eyes. I had, before that time, had some dealings with my boss, and I didn't think it was sharp speaking then, but when the Lord opened it up, he said, Dan, you were wrong in what you did. But he gave me an opportunity. You want my presence? Go back. Take care of these things. I want to tell you today, this, I hope this will not be a dismal message. What this is, when I turn my focus to eternity, and that becomes my priority, the Lord is faithful to come to me to show me things that it'll take, that when I step over, it'll be rejoicing instead of fear. Well, I want his presence, and I'm not going to justify myself anymore. So I'll go back and I'll take care of it. And you know what? I find out taking care of those things is not near as hard as what the devil would like to make us feel like. There has been, I've heard this before, there will be more Christians lost. Say, maybe that's right. Because in my own heart, I know the sins. I wouldn't cheat. I wouldn't steal. I wouldn't kill. I've got a list of things I will not do. But it gets down a lot closer than that. Especially for us. There's that verse that says, to whom much is given, much is going to be required. There's a song that comes down close when it says, keep me gentle, let no word from my lips be ever heard. That shall wound a tender heart, cause a tear of grief to start. In 2 Corinthians, it tells us about what a carefulness it wrought in you. And I believe that verse would fit with what we're talking about today. 2 Corinthians 7 and 11. When I get the camera of my heart turned to infinity and I start realizing the end is coming for me, then it produces a carefulness in my life that I will not cross these areas that I know. Maybe they're right today, but when the Lord tells me this is taking you in a wrong direction, over time, it'll get you. Then I will be careful. What a carefulness it wrought. What revenge. What a clearing of yourselves for me to say, Lord, I've got my camera turned now to infinity. I stop on a regular basis and ask the Lord, Lord, the end could be tomorrow. I can't take a chance on letting anything stay in my life that will hinder me from having a clear testimony that I've made it. There is another verse, 2 Peter, if we go back to that for just a little bit. 3rd chapter again, in the 14th verse. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, I've now got my camera turned. I am starting to focus on eternities out there, and I want to be careful of my life. Seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. No matter what the religious world around us says, for me to make heaven, I'm going to have to be without spot, and I'm going to have to be blameless. It's going to be a requirement. Ephesians 5 and 27 tells us that he would be able to present himself at church, not having spot, found without spot, without a wrinkle, but holy, and without blemish. Since his requirement is that, and I tell him, Lord, I want to make heaven my home, he starts doing some things in my life. He starts sending events into my life that if I will be quiet, I will not rush through it, that he would be able to tell me, this is who you are. And many times, those things that he sends to me are just the opposite of what I want. It's trouble. It's sickness. It's adversity. It's somebody out in the world coming against me. You know what my prayer has been in the past? Lord, I want you to get me out of this trouble. I've got my focus here. Now I see it. I've got my focus here on close up. This trouble, this affliction, this adversity is not working with this close focus that I have. So, Lord, I want you to take it away, and I'll be happy again. Where when we turn our focus to infinity, and I say, Lord, I know eternity is out there. Do with me as you see best, that I'll be able to make heaven my home in the end. Send to me whatever I need. I want to tell you something that has really challenged me. About 3 weeks ago, we went to Sepulpa. I was wanting to encourage Brother Curtis. Had a song I wanted to sing to him. You know, he's been in the battle now for several months. And no doubt his prayer is, I'd like to be healed. But I tell you, and I wanted to go in there, you know, I don't want to talk too long and wear him out. But he started preaching a message to me. And the things he said, I would not be able to say them here because I'm not going through the battle like he did. It wouldn't carry the same weight. But I want to share with you something that he told me. He said that one night, there was prayer, probably for here too. There was continual prayer for a few days for Brother Michael, for Brother Curtis, and for other needs. He told us, he said, it was on a Wednesday night that his wife had signed up that she would pray for a certain time. He said, I was feeling well enough that I told her, you go on the meeting. I'll take your hour. I will pray that hour for the needs that there are. What would you pray for if you were one of those? Would I spend the hour saying, Lord, I'm one of them. I want you to take me out of this trouble. He told me, he said, I started out praying for Brother Michael. I went on to pray for the church. Lord, would you look down in mercy upon us? And he said, I had about 10 minutes left. If my focus is on the 2-foot setting, my 10 minutes would be spent saying, Lord, it's high time for you to let me get back to work. It's high time for you to work. He said, I started asking the Lord, Lord, what's your will about me? There are many people praying. Curtis has contacts from work. It's not just our church as we know it praying for him. There would be a worker here that tells a family member in Florida, and they tell their congregation, somebody we'll never know about, and they send him a card. We are in earnest praying for you. This is what the Lord told Curtis. He said, I am more interested in people earnestly praying than I am in performing miracles. That has no depth when I tell you, because I'm not there desiring the Lord to heal me. When he said it, it spoke volumes to my heart. The Lord today is more interested in me earnestly praying and saying, Lord, I know eternity's out here ahead of me. Lord, you send into my life whatever it takes. There are people that say today, divine healing doesn't work. I want to tell you something. It's not even about that. It is about me realizing eternity. I have turned my focus to infinity. I now see the end. I now see eternity. And my chance for making heaven is so slim if I don't tell the Lord, you do whatever you want to in my life, and I'll accept it. There is a verse in Ephesians 5 and 15. It says, see then that you walk circumspectly. As I looked at that verse and looked up the definition of it, the time we're living in, we need to walk circumspectly. It says alert, cautious, looking every way. I've got an example I want to give you for just a little bit. I'm scared of snakes. It doesn't matter what kind it is. If you were at a state park, they've got these trails where you can walk through the woods, and you're just fitting to leave the road there, the pavement, and walk on this trail, and somebody comes off of it, and they say, look, if you're fitting to walk on this, I just want to tell you, be very careful, because there are so many snakes out there today. Just be careful that you not get bit. How would you walk it? You know, there are some times whenever I walk in the woods, and I mean, you can hear the birds singing. It's a beautiful day. And you walk around it looking up at the trees. You look all over. Would you walk it that way then? Uh-uh. I would be alert. I would be watching any little rustle in the leaves. It wouldn't be an enjoyable walk anymore. Well, one day at my house, out in the shop, I've got a tool cabinet that has a real long drawers to it. And I pulled that drawer out about halfway to get a tool out of the front of it, and I was digging through to find it. I saw a movement out of the corner of my eye back there at the back. And when I glanced up, it was a snake coiled up. And it's amazing how fast you slam that drawer, which is what I did. And then I thought, wait a minute. I can't leave now. He's in there somewhere. And I could hear this rattling sound. And I could hear movement. I approached that drawer different the second time than I did the first. When I went to it the first, I've always done this. Yank it open, find what I need, shut the drawer. I went to it different this next time. I eased it out. I'm looking. I'm ready. Well, and he wasn't in there. He had already moved to another one. So I had to move from one to the other to get him. I thought about that with my soul for today. I need to proceed with caution. If I have turned my camera to infinity, I'll proceed with caution. I will realize, you know what, the devil's job is to snare me and cause me to be lost in the end. So I'm going to be very careful, because that next verse, Ephesians 5 and 16, says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Making up for lost time, because there may not be much time left. Over in Luke, there was someone that asked a question of Jesus. Lord, is it that there's just going to be a few that are saved? He didn't even really deal with the question, but what he told him is, you strive to enter in. You make it your focus. I'm going to make it by the help of the Lord. And I want to tell you today, after we have taken the inventory, after I've opened up my heart and said, Lord, you take the inventory, we don't have to go alone then with question. Because after that, I can start singing that song, I know my name is there. But it will be that continually through my life, from now until I leave out of here, I ask the Lord, I won't anymore judge myself and say I did it right. Because, Lord, every way of a man's right in his own eyes, and you can see eternity. At my best, I can only glimpse at it. There's a verse in closing, 2 Peter 1 and 10. It says, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Because if you'll do these things, you'll never fall. If you'll give diligence, if I will continually come to the Lord and say, take inventory of my life, then I've got a guarantee. By continually doing that, I'll never fall. It says, for so an entrance shall be ministered to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The very thing that every one of us desire. To be able to have not just, Lord, I threw $20 worth of religion at it. Would you let me in? I want those gates to swing wide open. I want there to be, for me, an abundant entrance. And that's available to every one of us. We have another song that says, watch and pray. That when the master cometh, if it's at morning, noon, or night, he may find a lamp in every window, trimmed and burning clear and bright. Right at the very end of the Bible, almost the last verse, Jesus again says, "Behold, I come quickly." He said that 2,000 years ago. But the response then is the same response I must have to be able to make it. John said, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." I need to be saying that in my daily life. Lord, I want you to come today. When I just finished this business dealing, Lord, I want you to come and do an inventory. Was there anything that was not, that would cause me any question at the end? I'll take care of that thing. I'll go back and take care of it. Because when I do that daily, saying, "Even so come, Lord Jesus," when that day comes, I'll be able to say it again. I would like for us to close with another song, number 397. Be ready. All of us, be ready. In the awful day that's coming, when heaven's trump shall sound. If my camera is turned to the close-up setting, this just sounds like back there where we heard about there's going to be scoffers saying, "Where's the sign of his coming?" It'll be kind of like that to me. But when I move it to infinity and this becomes a reality, it says, "In the awful day that's coming, when heaven's trump shall sound and call the world to judgment, where shall I be found? Shall I cry for rocks and mountain to hide me in that day from him who comes in glory with all his bright array?" That last verse says, "Oh soul, be up and doing. We have no time to lose." None of us have any time to lose. I appreciate your attention today. I desire the Lord to help me, that should the end come tomorrow, I'll be ready. Should it be 5 years from now, I'll be ready. Because it says there in Matthew 24, it says, "Blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he comes, finds so doing." He didn't go sell his house, sell his cars, and just meet at the chapel praying all the time. He went on about his business, but he was ready for the Lord when he came back. I desire your prayers.